And now we're going to play a game. Who said that? You ready? These aren't biblical ones here, too. Just to let you know, we are just shy of the 4th of July. So guess what? I'm going to give you some information there, Founding Fathers stuff, about the Word, about the founding of our country, and we're going to kind of do a little bit with this, but we're going to do a few of them. The liberties of a people never were, nor ever will be, secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Washington.
Ben Franklin.
The Constitution is not an instrument for government to restrain the people. It is an instrument for the people to restrain the government, lest it come to dominate our lives and interests. And the third one of him, oh, gave you a secret. See, now you can weed out 50-50. Okay. It's when people forget God that tyrants forge their chains.
Patrick
Henry.
Thanks.
Those are all three from him.
Thanks.
Okay, here we go again. Who said that?
Who was it?
They who would give up an essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither liberty nor security. Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote. And I use that a lot because that, I'll tell you what, when people bring up the thing, well, we're a democracy, you know, the majority vote and rule. And I'm like, well, not so. And I did. I told one person, I said, what if your daughter was in a house and there was a fraternity right next to it and they wanted to vote whether or not they could all have sex with her? The majority win. I'm like, going, this is not what we have. Absolutely not what we have. So this is a perfect one, and it's a good one to quote later on, too. Man will ultimately be governed by God or by tyrants. Ben Franklin. Okay, well, again, here we go. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. John Adams, absolutely.
I really was going to say.
And so these are founding fathers. And so as I go through this, we're doing a little sharing here as well on governmental type things. And through the Old Testament, we'll jump in a little bit into the New Testament. But as we go through, there's no doubt for anybody who wants history to see how our country is founded. These people said, you know, Benjamin Franklin said, here's your Constitution. Try to keep it. He knew what would happen. And they put all these provisions to try to protect it and try to seal it and try to hold it true. And so even for these people, they said that this is only going to work for a country that will recognize God or recognize Yahweh. This is the only way it's going to work. So let's start off in Proverbs 14:34. And I did, here, kids. Sorry. There you go.
Thank you.
Here you go. Here you go.
You got it.
Okay.
No spam.
No spam. Okay, somebody call me on a page number.
620.
620 in the Old Testament.
Okay, good. And once one of you younger ones get to it, why don't you read it for me? 1434 on page 620. Okay, 34.
I'm there.
Go for it.
Me or who?
Anybody, whoever
Wait,
got there.
Righteousness exalts in a nation, but a reproach to any people is sin.
That's right. Any people, any peoples is sin. Okay, righteousness exalteth the nation. And so all throughout history, you can see an empire raise and you can see an empire fall. I did a teaching a while back ago that showed basically a clock, if you will. It was like the whole circle. And people, when they get to, if you will, the 9 o'clock position, okay, this is where things are at their worst, and they are in captivity. They're ruled by a bloody or vicious tyrant, and everything is gone, and now they have no rights. And so what happens is they fall down before Yahweh and they repent. And then by the time they get up to about the 12 o'clock position, things are turning back around because they've changed it, and they start to prosper under Yahweh by righteousness. And by the time they get to 3 o'clock, they start becoming self-reliant. By the time they get to 6 o'clock, they're fully self-reliant. okay? And everything starts to drop and lose, and people keep doing this over and over and over again. Governments keep doing this over and over again. And all through history, we see this time and time again, and yet a short lifespan of a person, they think, well, it's going to be different this time, which is the definition of insanity. So the question is, should I be involved in politics? This was kind of a big week here this last week. Should I be involved in politics? Okay? And Christ, we hear Christ being misquoted all the time or misrepresented that he was a socialist and he was this or he was that, which is all incorrect. That's absolutely not correct. Okay? And so when we see these things and people try to discredit it, what should I do? I can't do anything. I'm just, you know, this is what I'm stuck with. And I absolutely would agree or disagree with the person saying that. 40 million evangelicals don't vote in many elections. Okay? If these people voted and voted correctly, we would never have a problem. Neil Mamon's book here, right here, give him a little props here, 40 Days Towards a Godly Nation. Over and over and over again, he tells about what's happening in the United States, what's going on, what is taking place against religious freedom and liberties of people, and tells that a lot of times that things took place within city councils, within townships, within even a state. Their people are losing elections by less than 1,000 votes. Okay, for schools, there's schools now that there was a school that did a, for the young kids, did pro-homosexual teaching for kids that were like 6 years old. Okay, that had no business being in there, and yet the parents tried to pull their kids out, and it goes to the courts, and the courts rule against it. And then you start looking at the city, and it's a tiny place, and the people that particular area, they lost the vote by a couple hundred. And you think, if the Christian population would have gone out and voted, we wouldn't be in that predicament. And so that's why I say, should we be involved in politics? You're darn right we should, absolutely. An appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile, hoping it will eat him last. Okay, absolutely. This is exactly right, where you basically, well, you know, they're going to come for you. Trust me, when you see one group partnering with another group, okay, and they're both like fire and water, but they're coming against Christ together. And you're like, and how can that be? Well, this is an attack against Christ. It absolutely mm-hmm. is. Over and over and over again. And yet people, to include Christians, well, I guess we just got to go along with it. We'll just do whatever, because we don't want to be the one to stand out and the one to be eaten first. Psalms 33. Kids already there?
Yep.
All right. Melania, this one's you then, girl.
Okay.
Call out a page.
544.
All right. 544. 3312. The top left. Give him just a second there. Just a second, honey. Give him just a second. Okay. I think we're good.
How happy the nation whose God is Yahweh.
Keep going.
Oh. Two times?
No,
the people.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what's with that?
Look at 12, and that's the second
people
part.
He hath chosen as his own
inherits. That's right. And where do you see this in the Old Testament with God? In most places, the way it's spelled like that, capital G, small o, small d, it's Elohim. And so that's what it is here. How happy the nation whose Elohim is Yahweh. Okay? And so that's it. How happy the nation. When we look for prosperity, really easy way for that. People are like, well, we should have, you know, everything should be, we should allow everything, and we'll just kind of, and what happens is you see the nations, and what happened in the Old Testament, Yahweh told them not to bring in some of the foreign wives. And why? Because it was going to change their ideals and their believings. Because along with that came the false idols, okay, which were going to pull them away from Yahweh. Now, it wasn't always that way, because there were times where they would marry other people. But Yahweh specifically told them against certain individuals not to marry with them, because it was going to change them. Religion and politics. And this is a quote out of Neil Mamon's book. It is important to note that while morality is not religion, one's morality is invariably affected by one's religious values and beliefs. Even not believing in organized religion is a belief system and thus, in effect, a religious paradigm. Even atheists, so-called atheists, have religious paradigms. Thus, I found that all politics is personally religious at its base, because whether you believe that God exists or not, your personal politics will immediately reflect that. Like, well, that's absolutely true. And so even for the people who don't want to say that, their beliefs and their morals are different based upon where they stand. And so it absolutely is. Let's go to 2 Kings. number. And I will read this one there, but call off a page number there, kiddo.
400.
All right, page 400. Chapter 17, verses 7 through 9. Top left there. Starting in verse 7. And you see what it says right above that. Anybody there? Number 400, page 400. Right above verse 7 where it starts off, you see it's a break. A review of the causes leading to Israel's downfall. And so as historians, you can go through, and a person who goes through this with a discerning eye will see over and over and over again through history what breaks down civilization. And they say that the civilization, when morality, when the things start to break down in morality, the country will start to unravel and fall apart from that. That's always been throughout history, regardless of what religion or what group of people. It's always been that way. And then starting in 7 through 9, and thus it came to pass that Israel sinned against Yahweh and their Elohim, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the land of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yea, they did reverence to other Elohims and walked in the statutes of nations whom Yahweh had dispossessed them before the sons of Israel. And in the statutes of the kings of Israel, which they had made, and the sons of Israel did secretly things which were not right against Yahweh their Elohim, and built for themselves high places in all their cities, and from the watchman's tower to the fortified city. And what you see in here is this is not just kings that did this. You see, it starts off right there. Israel sinned against Yahweh. Then it says the kings sinned against Yahweh, and they're following the statutes. It's the dog leading or chasing the tail leading the dog. Basically, it's a vicious cycle that both of them are drawing each other down and pulling each other down. I find that interesting, though, that the watchtower was supposed to be where they were watching to be protecting from. And these people are doing this in the high places to include, and it specifically mentions, the watchman's tower. Okay? That this is where it's a fall down. It's a fall apart from this right from the very beginning. Let's go to Exodus 34. Who's there?
I'm almost there.
Okay. 34, 5 through 7. We'll have an adult read this one if they would. Page 118.
Page 34.
Yeah. Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Whoops. Well, I messed up.
So what page is it?
You know why? Because I looked up at the top of the thing. It says 34 up at the top corner.
118.
Yeah.
So
118.
What
version? It's chapter 34, verses 5. It's on page 118. And if somebody would read 5 through 7 for me, please.
And Yahweh descended in the cloud and took his station with him there, and proclaimed himself by the name of Yahweh. So Yahweh passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, the El of compassion and favor, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and faithfulness, keeping loving kindness to 1,000 generations, forgiving inequity and transgression and sin, though he leave not utterly unpunished, visiting the iniquity of our fathers, upon sons and upon sons' sons, until a third and fourth generation.
Absolutely. And so this is Yahweh speaking, and this is where you can see other translations. You see this, Yahweh, Yahweh, a L of compassion, or an L of compassion and favor. Okay? And talking about that with the generations. Now, if you read, there's a very long expletive down there, and one of them is just a, basically it's an opinion that one of them talks about is that it was kindness of Yahweh to spread that out across so that one person wholly didn't have to deal with that. Okay, now that's an opinion that was written in there as well. But the point of this is that the compassion and favor, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and faithfulness. This is our Creator, and this is what He wants us to be able to come before Him and to seek that. So even when we as a nation, you know, do the wrong things, you look at Nineveh. Nineveh, what happened? Now, was Nineveh was it a Israel or a Jewish community?
Sin.
No. And yet what happened is Yahweh wanted them. Was it Amos? I can't remember. I think it was Amos that went out to all the countries around them to preach to them, to tell them to fall down before Yahweh, because what they were doing was going to cause their destruction. Okay? And so it's not even just, well, us as Christians. It says the nations, as nations. So we should be looking the same way at Mexico as we do at Canada and other countries. So when you hear other people say, well, we're the only country that's a first world country that does not do this. Yay. Good. Thank you. Torchbearer here. Not something that we have to fall. Well, we better all do it. I mean, if everybody's doing this, let's all just jump on board and do it as well. But this is where Yahweh's telling them. So even the Nineveh and some of the other nations that were not Yahweh's people, he was still sending people out to go to them to tell them to repent and to change your ways. Okay. Yahweh blessing America here. Going through our verses here, then we're going to pull up some other stuff here. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Who's got a number there for me?
Me. 2:04:7. Okay. I'm already there.
All right. Good. You guys are fast. Okay, chapter 8, verses 7 through 20. And I'll start reading this, and then I'll let somebody else pick up here with it a little bit as well. Page 207, everybody, starting there in verse 7 through 20. Dangers of coming abundance, Moses still speaking. Okay, in verse 7. For Yahweh, thy Elohim, is bringing thee into a good land, a land of ravines of water and foundation, of fountains of depths and depths, coming forth in valley and in mountain, a land of wheat and barley and vine and fig tree and pomegranate, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein not a scarcity shalt thou eat food, thou shalt lack nothing therein, a land whose stones are iron and whose hills thou mayest hew copper. So then wilt thou eat and be satisfied. Would somebody like to help? Let me finish that. And bless Yahweh thy Elohim for the good land which he hath given unto thee. Go ahead and in verse 11 through 20. Somebody else, you can switch it. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Take heed to thyself, lest thou forget Yahweh thy God, so as not to keep his commandments and his regulations and his statutes, which I am commanding thee today, lest thou eat and be satisfied in thy goodly houses thou built and inhabit, and thy herd and thy flock increase, and silver and gold increase unto thee, and all that thou hast increased, and so that thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget Yahweh thy God, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of servants, who caused thee to journey through the great and terrible desert, a fiery serpent with scorpions and thirsty wastes. There is no water, who brought forth for thee water out of the flinty rock, who fed thee with manna in the desert, which thy fathers had not known, that he might humble thee, and that he might put thee to the proof, to see, to do thee good in thy heart hereafter. And lest thou shouldest say in thy heart, my own strength and the might of mine own hand have gotten me to this wealth. But thou shalt remember Yahweh thy God, that it was he who had been giving thee establishment.
Strength
to get wealth, so that he might establish his covenant, which he sware to thy fathers as at this day. But it shall be, if thou forget Yahweh thy God, and go after other gods, and serve them, and bow thyself down to them, I testify against you today, and that ye shall perish, like the nations which Yahweh is caused to perish from before you, so shall ye perish, because ye would not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your God.
That's exactly it. And this is for any country who is establishing or redoing a constitution. This is it. This is the warning. Okay, this is the promise that if you follow, that I will give you these things. And then you look at, okay, he's going to put them in the land of Canaan. Now, they were all satisfied while they were out for 40 years. But he's going to put them in the land of Canaan, and this place is just booming. It is fantastic. And then I look at our country here in the United States. I'm like going, we are the oil, most oil-rich country in the world. We just don't go after it. They found an oil find in the central part of the United States that alone surpasses Saudi Arabia's entire amount. We are so full of natural reserves, of natural gas, of coal, of everything Yahweh has blessed us with. He's given to us. We've got, I mean, just the vineyards from one side. We've got everything. We can grow the food that we produce here in the United States. We are well blessed. It's been given to us. The minerals that we have, that everything that we have here, people come to us to buy a lot of the minerals that we have, that we actually mine. We've been given this. And so as I read through this, I think to myself, as any nation that would put themselves before that, Yahweh's going to bless them and make that all available to them. So when we look at the Declaration of Independence, which is 4th of July, as we're going through this, that's what took place. And so a little bit of the history of it. There's the Declaration of Independence. One page. Okay, one page. That's it. What was your question? Go ahead.
Is that a question?
Oh, okay. The last line of the Declaration, okay, the last line before they all signed it, this is it. And for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance of protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and sacred honor. And they all laid it on the line. They all put this on there saying that this is how important this is for them to do it. This is a do or die moment. We've got to stand up. They knew that by signing their name on there that they were either going to establish this or they were going to swing from a rope. It was going to be one or the other. So here's something from John Adams here. This is some stuff that I dug up on this. It is amazing. This was from Dave Barton's group. What's the name of it?
Wallbuilders.
Wallbuilders, thank you. It's amazing that on the very day they approved the Declaration, John Adams was already foreseeing that their actions would be celebrated by future generations. Adams contemplated whether it would be proper to hold such celebrations, but then concluded that a day should be commemorated, but in a particular manner, with a specific spirit, as he had told to Abigail in his writings. This is where this all came from. It ought to be commemorated as a day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. And so when we think of the 4th of July, he put it down in two ways. He goes, there are two holidays every year that as Christians you have to celebrate as a Christian. 4th of July and Christmas. That was it. Those were the two. He said those two, if nothing else, a believer is going to do any other, those two are minimum for what you do and for dedicating yourself to God and to Christ. And so this is it. And this is what he said. Should be. So we've completely misdone this to where with 4th of July, it's time off and it's great. It's, you know, it's the heat. The summer's going on. But to rebuild this back, that we do this and preach this to our kids and pass this on for generation, that a devotion to God Almighty. John Adams believed that the 4th of July would become a religious holiday and a day when remembered God's hand in deliverance and a day of religious activities when he committed ourselves to him in a solemn act of devotion of God Almighty. Here's the big one right here. Of the 56 founding fathers, 27 of them were trained ministers.
Wow.
Okay, so when people try to change our history and rewrite our history that we were not a Christian nation, absolutely. And here's the other thing. People are like going, oh, we have to be peaceful. We can't do this. We just basically, you know, going to be like sheep for the slaughter, let out there. A lot of these pastors carried their guns with them and would come out from the fields doing battle and put their pistols on the podium to preach. And then go back out in the field with those same pistols to do it. They knew what they were fighting for, and they were willing to go fight for it. And that's what we have to do as well. Now, I'm not condoning saying, go take your pistols out in the street. Not yet. Okay. But at the same point, what I'm saying is that we do have to fight. We can't be silent, and we can't be pulled around, you know, like a bull with a ring through its nose. Leviticus 25:10. Now, this is kind of interesting, because right after it was signed, this took place. Now, this is just a portion of it, so I actually copied out what this is. Anybody recognize that?
Liberty Bell.
Liberty Bell. See what that is in the box there? Leviticus 25:10. Okay, proclaim freedom, and it says it. That's where you see the picture that I have of it here. This is it. Now, this is all Roman numerals like they used to use back in those days. But you see this right here, Leviticus 25:10, and then you see right here, you can see where my thing is here. That's where it starts out, proclaim. Proclaim freedom. It goes all the way around the bill. Proclaim freedom throughout the land to all dwellers thereof. Okay? And this is it. And so, yes, our country was founded on that, and we have to reclaim that. As Christians, we are the majority. Okay, we are the majority, and yet we are being treated as we're not, and we're being told we're not. And when we act like we're not, we are not. Mm-hmm. Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence, and if God wills it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom. And that's it. These guys were some of the wealthy people that put it all on the line and risked everything in order to do this. And so for them, the country was so important. I look at it for us. I'm like going, okay, what are we doing? How are we doing it? And as Christians, you know, I'm hoping that over the years that people getting this and people passing this on, that we have to do the same thing. We have to reclaim it. We have to not let things be stolen away. Let's go to Psalms 1.
Page 529.
Which is the first book of Psalms, by the way.
Kegel would like to read the first verse.
He may. Absolutely. Give us just a second there. What page did I say it was?
529.
So we're reading the whole chapter, but it's only six verses. It doesn't sound so bad when it's only six verses, right?
How happy the man who hath not walked in the counsel of the lawless, in the way of sinners, has not stood in the seat of scoffers, has not sat but in the law of Yahweh is his delight, and in his law doth he talk with himself day and night.
Excellent. And that is it. The first verse is my focus on this. Who hath not walked in the counsel of lawless? Okay? Well, we're in a land of lawlessness. We're directed by lawlessness. Our kings are lawlessness. Everything that we come up against is lawlessness. It's an attack against Christ. And yet, you have not walked in the counsel of. The counsel of is by virtue of accepting, by doing, by partaking of. You're not in the counsel of. And so in verse 3, so doth he become like the tree planted by the streams of water. So it tells you in the first one, you've not done this. And then in 2, it says, in his delight doth he talk with himself day and night. So doth he become like a tree planted by the streams of waters, that yieldeth his fruit in its season, whose leaves also doth not wither. And whatsoever he doth ponder, doeth pon, prosper, I'm sorry, prospereth. Not so to the lawless, but chaff, which is driven about by the wind. And that is exactly what we're looking at. When you see this, the countries the countries and the establishments of parties, this is what happens. We see our Constitution, or it's gone over 200 years, where you see other countries that aren't even close to that. Okay, and it's because of the chaff of the wind, it gets blown away. Anybody would like to read 5 and 6?
Isaiah, would you like to?
Mm-hmm. Okay, 5 and 6 for me.
For this cause shall the lawless not stand in the judgment, for sinners in the assembly of righteousness. For Yahweh doth acknowledge the way of the righteous, but the way of the lawless shall.
Excellent. We just read a whole chapter. Now, drag yourself back up to verse 5. And for all those that are taking notes, okay, it says, for this cause shall the lawless not stand. Okay, and if you look down there at D, it says arise. This is not Igaro. Okay, it's not. This is a different one. It's Quam is the name of it. Q-U-W-M or N, Quam. Okay, but it's to arise. That for this cause shall the lawless not stand or arise in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteousness. Okay, this is what Yahweh tells us, and it's because we are not walking in the counsel of lawlessness. So even though we feel like we are burdened by the lawlessness, as all throughout history, to include, Judah, Israel, that they were forced into them. They had horrible kings. You still had righteous groups and righteous people doing righteous things. And that's where we have to be and keep ourselves separated from those other ones. So this week was a bad one. And so people look at it and they're like going, I love it when people say law of the land. It's law of the land. Like, that makes it all good. Okay? Because our Supreme Court, they call them Supremes, are anything but supreme. And this is not recently. This is all through history. All the bad, bad decisions that we look back and you're like going, how could anybody, seriously, how could you do that? Okay? And here's just a handful of them. Dred Scott. This was the Fugitive Slave Act, which forced them to return the slaves back when they escaped to a free place. They would have to force them to go back. Okay? Passed. Went through the Supreme Court. Yes, you have to give them back. Plessy versus Ferguson. Guess what? Thank you, Woodrow Wilson. Segregation. Separate but equal. Now, blacks on one car, whites on another. This was absolutely passed for that went through the Supreme Court. It passed. Kelo versus City of New London. I put that in as 2005 just to show you a recent one. This was an eminent domain. Not for use of city goods or for a street that needed to come through or municipalities that needed to be there. It was a pharmaceutical company that wanted this whole block of this area. And they made the people move out. Bulldozed their houses down. They went bankrupt, and now it's a city dump. It's a city dump in their same spot. But it went through Supreme Court. So yes, you can do that because it was money. Money was involved in that, and they did it. It passed. That was in 2005. Karamazov versus United States. This was the internment of an entire race of people.
In the United States.
And passed through. It went all the way to the Supreme Court to say this is unlawful for you to do it. And they said, no, it is lawful.
What happened to them?
They were all interned. They were all held. This was right after
prison.
This was right after the bombings there in Hawaii. That's right. And so the Supreme Court, they fought it, took it all the way to the Supreme Court to say that it's not okay to do that. And the Supreme Court says, yes, it is okay to do that. Pace versus Alabama. This was interracial marriage. A guy was thrown in jail. Okay? And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said it's okay. Nope, him being in jail, that's perfectly fine. No problem. That was interracial marriage. That's what that was. Wickard v. Filburn. This was controlling private resources. This was not that long ago where a farmer was growing his own wheat for his own crops for his own consumption. And they came down and said, you cannot do that because it affects the market, him growing his own. And so basically that means if I grow a farm, if I put a row of carrots out here, then I break that right there. And it went through the Supreme Court, and they said, nope, that's perfectly legal to do that. Roe versus Wade. I think that one's a big one here. Okay, we hear all the time, women's rights, women's this, women's that. Half the people that are being aborted are women. Okay, half of them that are being aborted are women. And yet here it is, and this was a decision that they made, where they're making jurisdiction, they're making laws from the bench that they have no authority to do. And so when we see this and we get frustrated, and it frustrated me for what we're going through, there was more than this that I haven't even talked about. There was three major decisions that came out last week, and they were wrong on every single one of them. Okay, the fourth one, people are kind of tossing it around, but three of them were just absolutely flat out wrong and against freedom and liberty. Let's go to Ephesians 5.
Already
there. You're already there. How'd you get there so fast?
199.
All right. 15 through 17 of chapter 5. And Melania, is it your turn? You want to read one and maybe let one of the other kids read?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. 15.
Be talking healed.
Be taking heed.
Taking heed. Therefore, exactly how ye are walking, not as unwise, but as wise, buying out for yourselves the opportunity, because the days are
evil.
Evil. For this cause, do not become foolish, but have this
discernment
as to what is the will of the Lord.
That's right. What's the will of Yahweh here? So, again, be taking heed, therefore, exactly how ye are walking, not as unwise, but as wise. Even though we are subject to it and we have to do the battle, we still go back and we do the battle. It's not the end of it. You know, the war, we already know, is won. Okay? But the battles that happen in between, we're still engaged in. We still do it. And we have to. We don't throw down. And we want for generations to come for our children to be able to enjoy the country and the freedoms that we have. And so just to finish off this here, just a couple things I did that was kind of neat. That's it with the scriptures there for a couple patriotic things that I thought were kind of neat that I just wanted to share. And then we'll close out here.
On behalf of each person in attendance tonight to welcome back veterans and Wounded Warrior Project. And now for the introduction of God Bless America, let's join public address announcer John Hewitt.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now take a moment to sing God Bless America. We are led tonight by retired Navy Petty Officer First Class General Wilson.
God bless America, land that I stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans wide with foam.
Okay, and one more here. I've always liked here.
This is the wrong game.
I know. You see him? He's like, go Cardinals. I'm like, go on. If you know the words. Okay. The other one here is Ray Charles, and this one was done right after September 11th. This was at the World Series. It was right at the very beginning of October. September 11th had just taken place. The towers had just come down, and so they had Ray Charles, and I've always liked this song. They play it on Levin. He does it like every Friday, but it's a good one as well. But again, whoops, go back here. Previous. Previous. There we go. Okay, here we go.
Mr. Ray Charles.
Every day.
Last one here, just is to, for ourselves to remember here as we go into the 4th of July weekend, is that we do, like John Adams said, that we put it upon our hearts that this is a religious holiday for us as well in the United States. That we put it on that the same way that the founders did when they sacrificed everything, that we put ourselves and commit ourselves that, hey, for our generations and everything else, what do I have to do to be able to protect and do that and be able to do these things? So, that is all. Don't forget, Billy's birthday is Friday.
Amen.
So, for you guys seeing, I don't know if Rachel, if you guys are watching, but happy birthday, Billy. And I'll go ahead and close here, and then I'll have a word for all those who are watching as well. So, Yahweh, we thank you for this. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for the wonderful things you've given. We thank you for the change of seasons that we're able to see the... just everything that for our area just to rebuild, just to spring forth and come about from a winter that as we look through this and we see this at every day, we see the beauty, the bounty that you've done for us, and that we just focus on you and that we are always grateful to you and come to you. We thank you, Yahshua, for what you have done, for paying the price for us, that we have your authority, that you are our head and we are your hands and feet. And so we go out today and tomorrow and this weekend and this next coming year, walking out, doing the things that are well-pleasing before you and our Father. And so we thank you for all these, for the words that you give us, and we're able to share these and impart these and all this in your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My children, know that I have planted deep roots within you, that I have given you the ability to tap into things that are unseen, things that you do not see from the surface, but a completely different universe and a different just a whole different game that you are unaware of, that the dimensions, that there's many dimensions, that what you see are three, and what you are used to and experience are dimensional and minimal dimensions, and what I have is far surpassed as any of those dimensions that you are aware of. For my knowledge is not your knowledge, and I call upon you to be in faith that as I tell you these things, as I showed my servants, as I opened the heavens to show them the armies, that I do this for you as well, that I show you these and I tell you that what I have written about and what I have told, that these things are there and they are around you and surrounding you, that you do have messengers that are watching and able to be called down, that as you are in need, that you are able to call upon these, and that you do have a power and you have authority that I have given to you, and I'm calling you to use these things, to tap down into this, deep down into the things that I've given, and stand out in faith knowing that what you see is minimal compared to what there actually is, and that as you stand in faith that you will be able to receive these things and you will be able to manifest all of them. Amen.
Amen.